This is EcoShock Radio. All environment, all the time. Get more info on the web at ecoshock.org.
The Strange Case of Wilhelm Reich, Part 3. As we review the life and ideas of Wilhelm Reich, we reach into his research of the life-giving force, the something that makes us alive and all things live. In Norway and in America after 1939, Reich was trying to discover the physics of life itself. He called it orgone, which contains both the idea of organism, but also orgasm, which Reich regarded as a necessary penultimate consciousness. Having claimed to discover this life energy, Reich corresponded with governmental and scientific authorities, including Einstein, about his scientific theories. Meanwhile, he was pilloried in a series of reprints of a journalistic piece in the New Republic called The Strange Case of Wilhelm Reich. Written by Mildred Edie Brady, it was a sort of Reader's Digest piece. As part of a conspiracy of discreditation, Brady's piece was republished, as though it was authentic science, in the Bulletin of the Menninger Clinic, number 12. More on the Cold War politics of the media attack on Reich follows in our continuing story. The pathetic thing about Reich, aside from being martyred in every country for his pioneering views on sexuality and the individual, was that he was jailed, where he died, for attempting to introduce the study of life energy. He sought to penetrate the force that appears to drive the wondrous varieties of life on this planet, instead of settling for a mechanical description of life. Even if Reich's science was faulty, even if a lifetime of trying to help an insane society had disturbed his own sanity, the atomic society around him, the people of mad, mutually assured destruction, very badly needed a new idea, even if it was a myth of life, not death. At least Reich wrote out his other book, The Mass Murder of Christ, before he had to live it out. His tale is a cautionary one for the great searcher of truth. How risky it is to stray too far from the social mind when trying to understand the mass psychosis of the times. Did Nietzsche also pay this price? What about the French writer Antoine Artaud? In 1954, the Food and Drug Administration got a legal judgment against Reich. They claimed his orgone accumulators were a type of medical fraud. A judge ordered all accumulators destroyed and all literature associated with them to be destroyed also. The FDA interpreted this to mean all of Reich's writings should either be destroyed or edited out, presumably by hand, to remove any mention of the idea of orgone energy. In modern America, writing about the life force was to be burned or censored, medieval style. All this violation of civil liberties and basic human rights was praised by the psychiatric and psychoanalytic associations of the day. Reich responded by threatening to change the weather to flood parts of Maine. He had been experimenting with electronic devices to alter conduction in the atmosphere, perhaps a precursor to the infamous HAARP program run by the U.S. government in Alaska, which also threatens climate change, among other things. There were a few protests about Reich's case in those McCarthyite days of atomic repression and widespread censorship of dissenting public opinion. On June 26, 1956, FDA agents burned Wilhelm Reich's research library, his journals, his books, his letters. On August 23, 1956, federal agents forced the burning of another 6 tons of Reich's literature. The pile included, oh, irony of ironies, hard-covered copies of The Mass Psychology of Fascism. Few protested this treatment of the famous author and physician. There was a study about the weird FDA vendetta against Reich written by Jerome Greenfield. Ralph Nader paid for another investigation into the Reich case in 1970. People repressed Reich, along with their own fears of talk about sexuality. Authority won. Any social activist needs to consider these risks of violent public and authoritarian reaction, even to life-generating instincts. Perhaps, for example, this also explains resistance to the paradigm of renewable non-polluting energy, and the lack of public concern with organized harassment of environmentalists, including harassment by government agencies, again. Reich's vision of life energy was made illegal by the U.S. government. Wilhelm Reich was forbidden to research or write about it. Was Reich attempting to found a new paradigm, a life-saving myth, marked by his own martyrdom? And what if we accept Reich's vision of life energy? He was not the first to seek such a thing. Physics had already discovered a new energy in radiation when, in 1903, an eminent French physics professor announced N-rays, a dim form of light which he thought emanated from living things, and perhaps from the mind. N-rays may have represented psychic energy. They were later found not to exist. What if we accepted Reich's myth that there is a life energy, that it can be accumulated, that it is hurt by pollution and radiation, that it resides inside the armored core of each of us? This life energy is everywhere. It appears on craggy, frozen cliffs and in the deepest sea bottom. Life pops up in the scientist's sealed laboratory dish, arriving from the air. Life is as likely to colonize machines as vice versa. It cracks open the heaviest stone monuments and eats away the strongest steel. Life adapts to ice or lava. Does anyone who proposes or worships such life energy trigger the mechanisms of defensive authority or the death instinct of the masses? Who can speak for life energy, for Oregon, if you will, without being denied and reviled? Is this why environmentalism is such a difficult calling?
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.
The Strange Case of Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich as an early environmentalist. Previously, we followed the turbulent life of Wilhelm Reich, the medical doctor and psychoanalyst, who thought sexual liberation would reduce our dependence on authoritarian governments and institutions. In the aftermath of Hiroshima and during the atmospheric atomic testing in America in the early 1950s, Wilhelm Reich was one of the first to worry publicly about the effects of radiation and the deterioration of the atmosphere generally from pollution. At the time, he was somewhat desperately attempting to find scientific proof of a life force, which he called orgone energy. He hoped an understanding of life energy could counteract the obvious death wish of the Cold War society. All the while, Reich had to fight a kind of double conspiracy by the Food and Drug Administration, apparently acting on behalf of the mind doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists, and by the FBI, under the sexually perverted J. Edgar Hoover, repressing his own homosexuality and cross-dressing while persecuting others for the same. Hoover pursued Reich as a former communist supporter in Europe in the 1920s and 30s. It didn't help that Reich was one of the first medical professionals to warn about the dangers of atomic testing. Let's listen to Myron Sharaf in his book Fury on Earth, a biography of Wilhelm Reich, published in 1983. Reich had investigated the impact of radiation on living things, on the life energy he called orgone. It was called the Oranner experiment. Quote, "Finally, in retrospect, one is struck by how prescient Reich was. Today, atomic tests, nuclear wastes, and harmful X-rays can produce public outrage. But such was not the case in 1951. Within weeks of the Oranner experiment, Reich was concerned about the effects of all kinds of toxic influences, chemical offal, electromagnetic pollution, on atmospheric and organismic orgone energy. I recall thinking, back in 1951, that his concern with minute traces of radium on watch dials and TV emissions was excessive, if not insane. Today, the use of radium in watches is rapidly declining. Effects of fluorescent lights have been noted, and people are advised not to sit too close to TV sets. He became concerned not only with the dangers of nuclear radiation, but also with chemical pollution and the danger from non-nuclear forms of electromagnetic emissions. The latter, too, he noted, could, in sufficient dosage, irritate orgone energy in a noxious way. Since the 1960s, the classical theory of radiation sickness has grown more similar to Reich's in its recognition that relatively low levels of nuclear radiation and non-nuclear emissions, for example from microwaves, can have harmful cumulative results. End quote. As an aside, it is known that life forms move through the lower atmosphere. If we lay out food, for example, something arrives via the air to grow there, perhaps a fungus. Reich also raised the issue of the effect of pollution and atomic radiation on such airborne and invisible parts of our ecosystem, rather than just directly on ourselves as human organisms. This subject is still understudied, even today. Human-made atmospheric pollution, where life creates conditions hostile to itself, Reich called DOR, a short form for deadly orgone energy. In a somewhat paranoid style, he began to sense that some days the atmosphere contained more of this DOR energy than others. Perhaps it was a day when the U.S. was testing plutonium on eastern America, or the beginnings of the acid rain clouds that destroyed New England forests and ate away at her rocks and monuments. Later, by 1953, he wondered if the DOR energy was left by aliens, perhaps even a kind of exhaust from their vehicles? Again, here is Sharaf, the patient and thoughtful biographer of Reich. Quote, Reich describes the emotional flavor, his words, of DOR clouds in a manner reminiscent of the 19th century art critic John Ruskin. Indeed, the comparison goes further since Ruskin was, to my knowledge, the first writer to comment on the atmospheric effects of intensive coal usage in England in the 1880s. End quote. Reich attempted to devise a mechanism to divert such harmful clouds, or to cause rain. He invented a system of tubes and electricity, which was tried out, with some reports of success, in both New England and the American Southwest. Reich experimented with cloud control. Frustrated with the deadly atomic game between the West and Russia, in his letters from prison in 1956, Reich pleaded for harbors for life, churches for life, and sanctuaries for life. We still need harbors for life, and sanctuaries too, as we try to save small spaces of the remaining natural biosphere and small places for our own individuality within our technical shells. We know what he meant. Further research regarding Reich's suspicious death in jail is contained in the article titled Who Killed Wilhelm Reich? By Jim Martin. It is part of a fascinating collection of underground and cult classics in the book Apocalypse Culture, published in 1990 and updated in 1994. The book bills itself as part of the literature of catastrophism. Jim Martin picks up on the Wilhelm Reich conspiracy, saying, quote, In my view, Wilhelm Reich was in prison because he stumbled into frightening facts about nuclear radiation during the early 1950s, a critical point in that newly developed industry. Simply put, Reich found that there is no shielding possible against the biological effects of nuclear radiation. On January 5, 1951, in what was called the Orener experiment, Reich placed a minute sample, 1 milligram, of iridium inside the powerful orgone accumulator. Reich's shocking report, which can be found in the now out-of-print Selected Writings, details how radiation sickness is a function of the organism's response to the invasive insult, and not a direct result of the radiation poisoning itself. Thus, different people may be more susceptible to the very minute doses, while others may feel no noticeable effects. Each person's reaction is different according to their own emotional and biological structure. End quote. And this may explain why some people react to radiation, even in minute doses, more than others do. As the original book may be hard to find, we reproduce his important argument here. Quote, It will be recalled that there was little understanding of the biological effects of radiation in the 1950s. Many people remember that soldiers were sent directly into test sites shortly after the dust cleared from nuclear explosions. They wore no protection and were merely dusted off afterwards. At this writing, January 1994, the U.S. Department of Energy has released many documents about the true nature of America's nuclear heritage. Department Secretary Hazel O'Leary has offered full disclosure about the years of chronic abuse of an unwitting population of human guinea pigs by the scientific establishment and the military. So far, reports have focused to the more insane injection of human beings with plutonium without informed consent. Less has been reported about the facts that first came out, that throughout the 1940s and 1950s, the military dropped radioactive dust over vast areas of the western states. To put this into perspective, the military essentially turned each of us into a huge cohort of experimental subjects in an ongoing test of the biological effects of radiation poisoning. There is little public understanding today of the true nature of Reich's research. However, the military, as of 1948, was fully comprised of his findings. Indeed, the AEC, the Atomic Energy Commission, provided Reich with the radium samples he used in the Orener experiment. End quote. So, there were massive environmental crimes against the home population to be hidden. Reich further came to the attention of authorities when he corresponded with, and then met with, the grand old man of American nuclear weapons, Albert Einstein. Reich had discovered and attempted to communicate the fact that even low levels of radiation can harm living things. At the time, the government was secretly using the American population to test for radiation effects. They had every reason to shut him up. The Soviet government, under Joseph Stalin, was likewise involved in an all-out atomic development without any regard for the health of its own citizens or the long-term environment. By researching radiation sickness, Reich had stumbled into this nuclear interrelationship, both hostile and friendly. He was crushed by what he perceived as an orchestrated attack by the press, official organizations, and bureaucracy. The emerging record, such as it is, appears to support Reich's general thesis of a conspiracy against him to silence him. Jim Martin reports, quote, "Venom was stirred up by Michael Strait's The New Republic under the editorship of the pro-Stalinist presidential candidate, Henry Wallace. A reporter interviewed Reich under false pretenses and finally wrote about Reich's sex cult. This brought the crisis to a head. The FDA launched a multi-million dollar investigation of the Orgone accumulator, declared it a fraud, and set about bringing criminal proceedings against Reich. Reich's FBI files reveal a blistering blizzard of letters directed towards getting rid of Reich, from doctors in the AMA, ministers of Christian Youth Crusades, and one from the Atomic Energy Commission, advising the FDA what a, quote, thorn in the side, end quote, Reich had been, end quote. All this storm of death-making and evil descended on the New England house of one Wilhelm Reich. They hauled him away, burned his books and letters, and left him to die with thieves and murderers in Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary. That concludes our series on Wilhelm Reich.
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.